God be with you. Many of you know I love this time of year when words sort of change from the things that we easily pop around to each other and they sort of crack open like a nut and you see the nut meat and the deep meaning inside. The words we say like goodbye is really a blessing and a benediction. God be with you. And when we say welcome, we mean that we're welcoming you here today to Hebron Presbyterian Church with open arms and open hearts, and that this is a place of sanctuary for you, whether you're here in the sanctuary here or online. And the reason for that is because we have Noel, we have the chance that now things will be well, that today you may experience the presence of the living Jesus in your life, and that now things, even if you're sad, may be better because God has come into our world. So, God be with you, welcome, and Noel. Today is the last Sunday to sign up for the Hebron Baking Exchange that will take place this Saturday at 2 o'clock in the manse. And if you bring a couple dozen baked goods in an empty container and join Addison Schmidt Morgan for holiday celebrations and fellowship. I personally did a test run of cookies last week, and they turned out wretchedly misshapen, so the bar is not high. And the sign-up sheet is in Holman Hall, so do come. It should be fun to do. The other announcement is that Christmas Eve is just around the corner. It's about 10 days away, and plan to make it part of your holy day celebrations. It will be at 4 o'clock on December the 24th, and include your friends and family by inviting them. You'll see in Holman Hall, there are these very nice invitations. Grab some and take them and put them in mailboxes or give them to neighbors and friends so that we can come together for some time to celebrate the true meaning of the season, which is the birth of our Savior. And finally, if you would join us for worship, for after worship in the fellowship hall, it's a time to chat and catch up. I know it's a busy season, and sometimes you get hung up in here talking, but come on down to Holman Hall, and there are some great treats and time to have some coffee and tea and just to talk. So please do come. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship. Rise and join together in the call to worship. season of Advent, we celebrate with joyful hearts.
Christ is our light and the source of our joy.
We count our blessings and give thanks for God's goodness and grace.
Christ is our light and the source of our joy.
We strive to search for the good in neighbors near and far.
Christ is our light and the source of our joy.
We remember that God has promised us full and joyful lives.
Christ is our light and the source of our joy.
This morning, we light 3 candles. The candles of hope, peace, and today, joy. This candle reminds us that we have reason to be joyful, even in the midst of strife. We remember that the angel proclaimed Christ's birth as good news of great joy to all people. We celebrate today with joyful hearts and commit ourselves to spreading that joy to the world around us.
Let us pray. Gracious God, as we continue our Advent journey, we ask that you open our eyes to the beauty and goodness all around us and fill our hearts with grateful joy. Remind us that Christ is our light and the source of all our joy, and that we are here to serve you and to spread that joy to others. Through that same Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
We have all sinned. Not one of us is clean. But there is mercy for those who call on the name of the Lord. Trusting in God's grace in Jesus Christ, let us confess our sins. Gracious God, this season stirs a longing to have Christ come alive within us. Yet we allow ourselves to become enslaved to cynicism, selfishness, and greed. In a season for freely giving and receiving, we tend to live by debt and obligation. We rush from task to task, scarcely opening our eyes to the peace and beauty around us. We sing of one who was laid in a borrowed manger, but we ignore the poor and needy in our midst. We decry the violence of a wicked king, yet we are too often silent in the face of abuse and injustice. For these and all our sins, we pray, forgive us, gracious God.
Amen. Hear the good news. God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him and be presented pure at his coming. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ, and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Any children to come forward for our children's time. You want to come sit next to me here? Wonderful. Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, good morning. Okay, my friends, today we're going to read a story called Song of the Stars, a Christmas story. So I'll turn here a little bit. Okay, let's look here. The world was about to change forever, and it almost went by unnoticed. But the leaves that night rustled with a rumor. News sang out across the open field, a song over the hills. The wind whispered softly in the sycamore trees that waved their moonlit branches to the sky. A barn owl took flight, woodland creatures stirred,
It's time. It's time. You see our owls and our creatures? In the pine woods, two deer raised their heads. A big brown bear sniffed the air. A red fox darted. The faces of little flowers lifted to the sky. It's time. It's time. The sky shouted it to the seas that thundered it to the waves that roared it to the great white whales that sang it to the starfish in the deep. And tiny sandpipers danced on shining sand. It's time. It's time. The running rivers bounded over boulders. The otters clapped and played and sang to the ducklings that splashed and quacked to the salmon that leaped and leapt. And tiny field mice and insects and creeping things and sparrows and robins and every single blade of grass squeaked and hummed and chirped and sang. It's time. It's time. Wild stallions drummed it into the ground. Get ready, get ready, be glad, be glad. On a lowly peak, a lion raised his strong head and roared it out to the empty wilderness. A mighty king, the Prince of Peace. All the stars joined together in a chorus that rang out through the heavens. The bright and morning star. And on a hillside overlooking a little town, sheep nuzzled their new lambs, the Good Shepherd. Suddenly, angels lit up the whole sky, and a great choir sang out loud, "It's time, he's come, at last he's come." And in a little town, in a little shed, in a little window, a candle flickered in the dark. And a tiny cry rang out in the cold night air. And high above, a single star set out in highest heaven shone out brighter than all the others and poured down silver onto the little shed, a light to light up the whole world. Do you see that? The animals stood around his bed, and the whole earth and all the stars and the sky held its breath. The one who made us has come to be with us. And a young mother with no place to rest, nowhere to stay, kept it as a song inside her heart, our rescuer. And they gazed in wonder at God's great gift, lying on a bed of straw, wrapped in rags, a tiny little baby. Heaven's son, sleeping under the stars that he had made. The end. My friends, we remember in this story that it's not just us who wait for Christmas, it's not just us who wait for Jesus to come, but it's the whole world. All of creation, every animal, every star in the sky waits with us for Jesus. Shall we pray together? Show me your prayer hands. This is a repeat after me prayer. Dear God,
thank you for showing us
that the whole world waits
for Jesus.
While we wait,
help us to show your love.
In Jesus' name,
we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you can go back to your seats.
Our Old Testament reading comes from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 1. Listen now to God's word. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly, I did not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I have traveled
Let us pray. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us in the waiting, the watching, the hoping, the longing, the sorrow, the sighing, and yes, even in the rejoicing. Speak to us by your word in these Advent days, and walk with us until that great day of your coming. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. Our New Testament lesson comes from the Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter, starting in the 26th verse. Last week, we went way into the future, if you remember, from the beginning. We started with the story of Zechariah and the prophecy of John being born. Then we skipped ahead last week to Matthew 11, and John was all grown up and imprisoned. Jesus was also all grown up, and they had this interaction. And now we're going back right after the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth to the angel coming again, but this time to the woman called Mary. Listen now to God's word. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and wondered and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So far in our series this Advent, we have tried to pull back the layers of the stories surrounding Christmas, trying to push a little bit deeper past the sort of commercialized version to see the radical reality of the events leading up to the birth of our Savior. And I've suggested all along the way that the people in these stories, which we cherish, Zechariah, Elizabeth, and even John the Baptist, they were not the perfect porcelain saints that our cards and creches make them out to be. Instead, they were people with real fears and real troubles who had their whole lives disrupted and transformed by God breaking in. And so it is with the Virgin Mary. In the Christian world, there are really two extremes when it comes to talking about Mary. Either on the one hand, she is venerated as the Blessed Virgin, transformed into some otherworldly creature beyond human understanding and human experience. Or on the other hand, she's viewed just as a faithful woman, but just like everybody else. Not much to teach us, and really we only think about her when we get out the little figurine to put in our nativities at home. In both these ways of viewing Mary, they give her an idealized form. They skip to the end of her story. They skip to the end of her answer saying, "Here I am, servant of the Lord." And we do not consider what Mary's yes to God's question, what Mary's yes to the announcement of the angel would have meant for her life. Like her relative Zechariah, Mary's initial reaction to the angel announcement was terror. It was terror. The text tells us she was much perplexed. Now, that's a very erudite way of saying it, and I think the Greek word is a little more intense. It really means something like she was distressed through and through, or she was made to be anxious all the way to the core of her being. Remember, from the Old Testament, the angel Gabriel was associated by the Jewish people with divine judgment. He was seen as the angel of God's wrath on earth. And even as the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary," the message that it brought her, if we really look at it, would have been no cause for any kind of relaxed calm. The angel said, "Do not be afraid," but the message was still unsettling. For though she was an unmarried virgin, the angel tells her that she would miraculously conceive and bear a son. Again, we take this for granted. It's just the fact in our storybook. But Mary knew the real consequences that could take place if she was found suddenly to be pregnant. Besides the spiritual shock, it posed a profound risk of social and bodily harm. The people would have assumed that she transgressed her betrothal, which would lead not only to the end of her engagement and the isolation and the poverty that went along with being a social pariah, but it also could mean her death, stoned in accordance with the law. Mary was not naive to what the angel's announcement could mean for her. Now add to that the risk, potential risk to her future child. Gabriel said that this child would be called the Son of the Most High, inheriting David's throne, reigning over Jacob forever. Of his kingdom, there would be no end. But in that day, those were highly charged political claims. And they were a threat to the powers of that day. Remember, Judea was under the iron grip of Rome and their puppet king, Herod the Great. And they saw any challenge, any claim to messiahship, to political power as a threat to their kingdom, they would give it up to no one. You know, Mary probably heard of many so-called messiahs and political rebels in her day who had deigned to come up against the political machine that was Rome. Yet all of them were cut down, executed by the powers. Even if she had survived the social and bodily risk to herself, if the angel's message about her child was true, it would most likely mean his death at the hands of worldly powers. Mary was not naive to what this announcement could mean for her and her child. She was distressed through and through. Now, as we come to view this, all that was in the background behind Mary's situation, you can understand why her first reaction was not simply a resounding yes, as if she knew everything was just going to work out in the end all right. Mary had uncertainties. She had questions, some of which were answered, others not. But what we find truly amazing, or at least what I find truly amazing about her response here, is that even in the midst of her fears and the real risks, Mary still steps forward in faith and answers God's call. There was not a lack of fear in her, one commenter notes, but a deep, trembling resolve to move forward anyway, not with certainty, but with open hands and the courage to say yes, even in the unknown. There's an extra biblical legend that says that Mary was not the first person who was asked to bear Jesus, but rather she was the first person to say yes. Now, this is only a legend, but I think it helps us to imagine how many may have reacted to God's call with, "Are you out of your mind?" No way. Only Mary said yes. She said yes to the incarnations. She said yes to God who desired to dwell in her and come into the world through her. It was a trembling yes. It was an uncertain yes. But it was a yes moving forward in faith. Mary trusted, even with her fears and the real unknowns, because she knew the one who was calling her forward. No payment was promised, no promises made, no wedding was dated, no blueprint displayed. Yet Mary, consenting to what none could guess, replied with conviction, "Tell God, I say yes." Now, as we are confronted with the real Mary, not the porcelain saint, we will come to realize that Mary's yes to God's call poses to us a challenge and a comfort. It poses to us a challenge and a comfort. On the one hand, her yes is a challenge because it means that our excuses will not work when God calls us forward. Are you too young? Mary was young. Are you too old? Elizabeth was old. Are you poor? Mary was a peasant. Are you unworthy? Mary was lowly and had no worth in the eyes of the world. Are you uncertain or afraid? Mary was too. And if God brought something good out of Nazareth, out of this poor, young peasant, unworthy of anything in the world, if he could bring something good out of Nazareth, God's word can be born anew in the most unlikely places. Even in you. So when God calls us forward, there is no excuse we can give except to say yes. As God calls us to be his witnesses in the world, in our jobs, in our communities, in our relationships, as God calls us to love our neighbors, those who are like us, and especially those who are not like us, as God calls us to love our enemies, because they are also image bearers worthy of dignity and love, as he calls us to do all these things, there are no excuses. Only a yes. Even if we're afraid. Even if there are real risks. Now, at the same time, Mary's yes is a comfort to us. It's a comfort because it means God can make a way for us to walk forward in faith, even as we face our fears. The angel reminded Mary, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And through God's providential care and sovereign ordering, he made it so Joseph would not cast her out, but would support her, that she would have a safe place to lay her head and to have her baby, even when there was no room at the inn, that the family would escape to Egypt when Herod threatened murder. God made a way for Mary. So he can make a way for you. God kept Mary every step of the way. So he will keep you. Now, saying nothing is impossible with God does not mean everything will just be easy. Mary still suffered hardship and pain. Eventually, she would witness her son crucified on the cross. And we too, as disciples of that Jesus, are called to bear our crosses and follow him. But what this means for us is that God will make a way forward. And he will be with us every step of the way, never forsaking us. We can step forward in faith, trusting the one who calls us. Even in our fear, we are called forward. Even in our troubles, God makes a way. Even in the unknown, we take steps in faith. We come with a trembling yes, with open hands, and with courage, knowing the one who calls us will see us through to the end. Amen.
Thank you.
Responding to God's word in faith and gratitude, let us confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. Christians, what do we believe?
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated on the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church.
We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection.
Let us turn once again to God in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, for whom all people wait and search, even when they don't realize it, we cry out today for a living and present word from you. As our season of discontent approaches the day of your coming, we pray that you would speak to us in the graceful ways known best by you. Open our eyes that have been closed by fear and blinded by self-pity, that we may see, you, even in the anxieties and uncertainties that beset our days and threaten to overwhelm us. Help us to see that amid the hustle and bustle of these holiday times, the crowded stores and rude shoppers, the impatient drivers, the frayed generosity, help us to see that you have become incarnate, sanctifying the smallest tasks of love, generosity, and kindness that we are enabled to perform by your grace. We remember the needs of others, O Lord, and we are embarrassed by our selfishness. May the answer to our prayers begin with us. Bring to all those who are in need the alleviation of their poverty or comfort for their minds and spirits. Enable us to do what we can to help, to share our own happiness and prosperity, to provide a listening ear or a comforting word, to do errands or acts of kindness. But let us not be content so long as conditions exist that foster human distress from generation to generation. We pray that the promise of your birth, that peace shall be on earth, may soon be fulfilled, both in our troubled hearts and in our troubled world. Come to us, Lord, for we need your presence in our own lives. We pray especially for those who are dear to us, those who are sick or troubled or unsure or near the hour of their death. Especially, O God, we lift up those we name in the silence of our heart. Comfort your people and fill each heart with your love. We pray for the world into which you came and which you still love. Touch us anew with the hope that is the heritage of those who love you and trust your promises. And we commend into your hand all those situations around our nation and around the world which trouble us, which move our hearts, and which need your sovereign love and care. Have mercy on us, O God. Have mercy. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the joy of those who rejoice and the comfort of those who mourn. For we pray using the words he taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our King and Savior now draws near. With the offering of our gifts, our talents, our very lives, let us adore him.
Gracious God, we bring these gifts before you as an offering of our whole lives, recognizing that you are the Lord who is to come. And so with these gifts, may you build for your kingdom, and may our whole lives be an offering of thanksgiving and praise. Through Jesus Christ, God with us. Amen. Fears, God calls us forward. And so go from this place to love and serve the Lord with a trembling yes, with open hands, and with courage, trusting the one who calls you forward. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. This day, always, forever. Amen.